Time of boys, all good?
Good day.
Very well.
No, not too bad, mate.
Hey. Hey, hey. Plenty to be happy about, don't we? We've only got 4 games left of the season. We can start planning European trips. So, all is well.
Sounds right up my street.
Aye. Although, I'm back on Twitter and I'm already sick of the Warren Shanklin chat. Even from Hearts fans today. I'm sick of it. Even Hearts fans today, someone tweeted saying that we've been handed Ford because Aberdeen and Hibs are shite, which just boiled my blood. Hibs that averaged 7th and finished 3rd in the last 24 years 3 times. Handed it to us because they finished exactly where they always finish, which is in with the fucking deadies in the bottom 6. Geese piece. Anyway, we'll rant about that later. Tam, what's been happening?
Not much, mate. Not much. Just been had a busy, had a week off, so just kind of chilled a bit.
Is it gone?
We are. It was COVID, mate.
That's a nice week off, sorry.
I didn't really catch a game on Saturday. I was out all day, so I'm only going off the highlights today, so it'll probably be as much as I pay attention usually each week anyway. So
Hold on. So you were off sick for your work with COVID, but then just went out on the weekend anyway?
What?
You missed the joke.
I wasn't paying attention. I was actually.
He said they had a week off. And I said,
oh God. Listen, it's been a long day. Leave me alone.
Listen, he's took another week off because that horse died. he was betting at the Grand National or whatever it was, and now that other horse has died. He's took a week off.
I was actually protesting at that race. That's why I was off, to be honest.
Protesting by losing money or giving money straight to Willie Hill.
Straight to that again. Protest, man. 2 weeks in a row, mate.
You showed them. Kev, what's been happening?
Not a great deal, mate. Didn't go to Kilmarnock. Saved myself some pennies, but caught the game on the old Arch TV after. Didn't watch it live, unfortunately. But yeah, all on that. Nothing really to shout about.
To be fair, it was only £25, I think. Which was not too bad. Ando, what's been happening?
Nothing. I feel like I barely left this seat since the last time we spoke. But, otherwise, all good. Nothing to moan about.
It's going to be a theme for ages, because you're not allowed to attend Hearts games. You could pick a game. Come to the last game of the season against Rangers.
Actually, what I was because the reason I was a bit distracted and never got the joke with Tam is because I was busy looking at my season ticket renewal because I've not done it yet. Then I don't know if I should even bother.
You got to Saturday to do it.
I don't know. I've seen the thing earlier on, so yep.
I didn't actually realise that. So cheers for the reminder, boys. I've not done it yet either.
Sorry, Tam. Yours is about £20 anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm in the director's box, mate.
Yeah, can you sit right beside budging up? I'll get the mates rates.
That's because I've got the grass line on my phone. So
keeps feeding these vanity projects to the minute. What about orangutans? It takes you next season's away tote, man. It's bright orange. We save the orangutans.org on the back.
And you'd absolutely love it if it was bright orange, so you're fine.
Love it.
Well, actually, the replies I've had on Twitter today from Celtic fans, they would be not surprised if we had an orange orangutan top next season. But anyway, cool. Right, boys, well, we'll go through headlines for the week. It's player of the year season, time of the year. So we've got our own awards we'll discuss. That was 2 nights ago, Sunday night. We have the league awards now coming up for, obviously, I think team of the season had been picked last week when we podded. This week we get the nominations for player of the year, the 4 of them, and then the manager nominations as well. So we'll look into them, have a wee chat about that. Some of the injury news that's come out of Hearts, although not surprised. We won't see Hoff for the remainder of the season. And then we'll talk about, obviously, Saturday we played at Kilmarnock, who are our closest and nearest rivals for 3rd. We secured a point, which essentially took 2 points off of them, 3 points that they couldn't win. So we pretty much confirmed for European football. We both play the old firm at the weekend. Kilmarnock will have to go to Ibrox and win. And like I said last week, if they pip us to 3rd, They'll have had their beat Celtic and Rangers. There's no argument by that if we lose or fail to win any of our five. So, but it looks like we're going to have it secure. We'll talk a bit about that and what that looks like. I've started to see some of the coefficient stuff kick about Twitter and the whole if, buts and maybes of who do we play and when and if and all that. So we can have a chat. We've got Kev's quiz. The Kelly game, we'll have a deep dive. Our best mate, Cammy Devlin, was unreal on Saturday. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the backlash to my tweet praising Cammy Devlin, which was really strange. And then we'll talk about Saturday's game at Celtic Park. Sound good?
Sure. Good.
Perfect.
Cool. For the people that have ordered in the first round the icon range stuff for the merch, it should be with us either late this week or early next week. We'll start distributing it to you as well. So if anybody that's bought in the first round should hopefully have the tops pretty soon, which is decent. And then I might shameless plug if you want to buy it. If anybody can remember what the Big Cartel is or the link is, let's plug it now.
Just this is my story.bigcartel.com.
Cool. Thank you. Well done, Tam. See you. You have got a use. Right.
Awesome.
Kev, today you get the stage first. Give your quiz.
No worries. No worries at all. So just looking at some details around how we've performed, especially since Naismith has been given full reign and since he was nearly getting shown the exit door back in November, there's been quite a turnaround in regards to performances and everything else. So I was having a look at managers earlier on today, and I've pulled a little quiz in regards to managers. So I've got four different categories. Very quick questions, and it will be nice and quick and nice and simple. Point to the person who gets it right, and the bonus point should you, if there are bonus points anyway, get the right percentage or the right amount of games. Nice and simple.
Well, I don't know any of these managers.
I have made them, I think most of them you will know. There's only probably going to be one or two that you have heard of, Tam, but probably have no real knowledge of, let's put it that way. Yeah, I mean, I always try and make sure that it's favourable to yourself, like, you know, but as it's going to be multiple choice to an extent, you've got a chance.
Well, that's good. I like it.
Good.
Are we doing this? Is this
fingers on the buzzer
versus each other and then have like a show, like a semi-final final showdown, or are we just doing it as a big everybody's involved?
Can do. You can do it any way you want, mate. I've got all names down. So from that point of view, I've got the names down here. But if you want to just do it as Tam versus Ando, given the fact that you usually wipe the floor with everybody anyway, you can take a back seat if that's what your preference is, mate.
I do enjoy laughing at Tam's struggle, so to get a front row seat, that would be decent. I'm not bothered. It's up to you, Kev. It's your game. All you right. Decide.
Let's leave Corbett out. Let's leave Corbett out. So hands on heads, guys. My car keys in my pocket. There we go.
You don't need to put yours, Corbett.
Corbett, you don't have to put it. If you're not playing, mate, you know.
Ah, but if yous are struggling, I'll jump in with an answer. I don't want yous to think that I'm at it.
You could always do it. We could always play phone a friend, and that way either we'll give both Ando and Tam a phone a friend option. But you're only allowed to use it once. How about that?
Thanks.
So, okay. Question one. Who has managed Hearts most and with how many games? So I will give you two particular managers. If they have had more than one particular term in office as such with the club, I'll tell you which particular version it is. So first one is Alec McDonald, the first time round, which I'll tell you was 1981, 10th of December, if you want the exact date. To the 30th of October, 1986. Or was it Jim Jeffries, first time round? 1st of August, 95, to the 8th of November, 2000. Which of those two managers had the most games? Tam, who do you think's the... So it's either Alan McDonald or Jim Jeffries.
Don't really know much about McDonald. Not going to lie to you. I know he obviously had a very good season, but I'll say Jim Jeffries.
No worries. Ando?
Yeah, Jim Jeffries. Not by, there won't be much in it, but Jim Jeffries, just because there's more games in a season when he was in charge.
Correct. Andy, want to have a wild guess at the amount of games? You both get a point, but anybody for a bonus point on the amount of games
closest to the pin
that each was in charge of.
Okay.
Closest to
the pin. So you want the dates again, did you say?
Is it closest to the pin, or is it or only?
No, I'll give closest to the pin. Yeah, closest to the pin. So, as I say, McDonald's was the 10th of December 81 to the 30th of October 86. And Jeffries was the 1st of August 95 to the 8th of November 2000. So both of them had about 5 years in charge.
Tam, you go first.
$250. $250? Okay. $249. $249. Very good. And actually, the twos are actually very, very close. Very close. So, answer was Jeffries with 242.
Oh, so suck it, Ando suck with it,
an additional, bonus point.
Guess who goes first next time?
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry, mate. Don't worry. So, next one, we've got John Robertson or Valdas Ivanauskas. The first time round for Valdas. So, Robertson was from the 3rd of November 2004 to the 9th of May 2005. And Valdas was from the 22nd of March 06 to the 23rd of October 06. So again, both of them, from that point of view, only really had about 6 months in charge of the club. Ando.
John Robertson.
Going with Robertson? Tam? Does Tam go with Ando and hopefully get a point, or maybe didn't get any, but get one bonus point? Tom, big choices.
I actually think so too, just because those Murrayfield games where he booted Shavala.
Where he booted Laszlo up there. Yeah. Very good. So point to both Ando and to Tom. So currently it's 3-2 to Ando. Ando, how many games for Robertson or Ivanauskas? Sorry, for Robertson, given he was the most.
I'll go 6 months, kind of be a lot. So 35.
35. No worries. Tam? Did you go one up or did you go one down?
How do you know I was going to do that, Kev? 34.
Well done, Ando. Got it bang on.
Shut up.
Yep, really? 35 games.
What, how many?
35 games.
How many did Ivanauskas have, out of curiosity?
28.
Okay.
28. According to London Hearts, anyway, 28 was the number for Valdas in his first time round.
Tam, thank
you. Tam, stop cheating on your phone. I can tell you're looking at a phone screen.
Where?
Because your face is all lit up blue and I can't see your hands. So stop cheating. Yeah.
How could I be losing if a machine?
Actually.
So last one in this round, and we can come back to this if you want, Corbett. The next one is John McGlynn from the 26th of June 2012 to the 28th of February 2013, or Ian Cathro, 5th of December 2016 to the 1st of August 2017. Tam, back to you. So is it McGlynn or is it Cathro?
Cathro.
Cathro for Tam?
Sorry, I'm a bit far away from Mike.
It's all right, mate. We heard you. Ando?
Oh, I don't know. Like, how many spells did McGlynn have? He had a couple. Is it two?
So he only had one. He only had one term where he was actually the manager of the club, but he had another one, which where he was caretaker.
I'll go Cathro then. I don't think McGlynn was ever very long. He just seemed to be a flash in the pan.
Okay. Correct answer on that one is John McGlynn.
Oh, really?
So there you go. No points. So we know that McGlynn was in charge for more games, but how many, given we'll go to you, Tam? It is tight, actually, between these two. Hence the reason for me picking it.
30.
Ando?
35, again. Similar sort of time frame.
No worries. Well, John McGlynn was in charge of Hearts for 34 games during that particular period, and Cathro was 30, just in case anybody wants to know. Good.
Can you tell me all the games? Because I want to VAR that, please. No.
Yeah, I can give it. It's www.londonhearts.org or whatever it is. No worries. I've got another three rounds. We want to come back to this one, Corbett.
Who won that? Who won the rounds?
So Ando got 5 points. Tam got 2.
Right. Will they then? Will they round 2 and round 3 next week?
No worries.
Keep it exciting.
No worries.
Right.
Nobody's used a phone a friend neither.
Oh fuck!
I can't. Thanks, lads.
I didn't need to phone Corbett for these. It's Tam. If I was playing somebody with sense, then. If I was playing Corbett, then I'll phone Corbett for the answer.
Right, headlines. What did you make of the Player of the Year, Potter? Start with the players. Player of the Year first. Obviously, Shankland, Butland, Tavernier, and Matt O'Reilly of Celtic.
Well, from my point of view, it's expected. There was all you always have at least one from either side of Glasgow, and one from, you know, usually somewhere else, whether it be Aberdeen, Hibs. I could not believe that the last player to win that particular title out with the Old Firm was Michael Higden.
That's
when he played with Motherwell, isn't it?
Didn't even know
he was that good. How the hell did he win anything? He was pish.
Yeah. But gives the writers an opportunity to meet their idols. That's why it's always
very true, mate.
Old Firm managers. Very true. It means they get a couple of pictures and get their family to be able to stand next to an Old Firm player.
Exactly. Maybe even organise like a wee trip to Europe or something with them. No?
Yeah, true. Actually, I think the only one, if I was being sensible and not a bit of jambo, I would say the only one I think really that could be questioned is the keeper. Especially if Rangers go and not to win the league. Tavernier is a right back. The goals that he scored, the influence that he has on that Rangers team, you know, he's the same as up there as almost like a Shankland in terms of how much they rely on him to dig him out of trouble. Shankland is a no-brainer. We know that. We watch him every week. It's not just his goals. It's his all-round play as well. And Matt O'Reilly's been... been superb for Celtic, so I can't really complain about them. The only one for me, Ando, would be the goalkeeper. Probably a bit unlucky. Some of the guys, like your Armstrong at Kilmarnock, a couple of the guys at Dundee as well. It's weird that both Derek McInnes and the Dundee manager and the Kilmarnock manager were nominated for Manager of the Year, but yet none of their players made the shortlist.
It's not really surprising, is it? I mean, it is... I'll be honest, I don't even pay any attention to it because of just how shambolic and nonsense it actually is. But it's a fair point. You think, right, well, the managers are only solely responsible for the position that the two clubs have found themselves in. And to be honest with you, like Doherty in particular, so what? I don't even know why he's on the list. It doesn't seem right to me. Fair enough, you've been promoted and you made top six. Wow, so what?
Mate, I think from a Hearts perspective, Tam is the injury to Frankie Kent maybe took him out of the... Maybe interesting to see when the nominations were made and the choices were made. Maybe he missed a few games there. Maybe played a part in it. But, as I say, between... I think Kent, Kingsley and Cochrane can feel hard done by not to be involved.
Oh, you're right. I don't know if you also seen the PFA player, the team of the year, sorry. Like Carter Vickers getting in ahead of Kent, and he's played what 3 months of the season. And I think it was Owen Beck who's also been injured, so I don't know if the injury hang comes into it, except that sort of recency bias that maybe is when the time of voting, as you say. So I think they'll be hard done by, certainly. But for me, if Shankland doesn't win that, it just sums up the what you said about the media meeting our heroes, because out of that list of players, he's by far the best, had the best season.
Yeah, and I also think I always look at these things in context. If Celtic win the league, which it looks like they will, effectively Rangers have finished bottom of the only table that matters to them, and yet two of their players are nominated, yet Celtic, if they've won the league, only one of their players is nominated. It does seem very, like you said, recency bias. I'd like to know when the voting for that happened. Was it before the collapse? Was it before the last Old Firm, when it looked like Rangers were going to be the title favourites? Now that it looks like they're going to have bottled it, because it does seem very, very weird that, like, for example, Cal McGregor at Celtic, not turning into the Celtic podcast, but he's been every game I ever watched Celtic, I always think he's a good player. As you said, Carter Vickers makes the team of the season, doesn't get nominated. So, a bit weird, a bit strange. Kev, was there any thoughts? Ando touched on it briefly there around the whole manager nominations. Naismith unlucky not to be there?
I genuinely think he is unlucky to not be there. I think what's probably shadowed his possible nomination is the whole beginning of the season shit that we had to, you know, we dealt with. You know, it was allegedly Frankie McAvoy that was in charge, and only from the, what was it, first, no, it was better than that, something of October, was when, you know, the actual reins were handed over to Naismith himself. So I do think that has probably given a bit of a dirty shadow over the whole option of choosing Naismith as a possible manager of the season. But we've said this before, you know, unless you go and maybe split the Old Firm, which is very hard to do, and there's only, you know, what, a couple of teams have done it in the last 30 years. And I'm not talking about, of course, while Rangers were languishing in other leagues, of course. But, you know, from that point of view, that's the one thing that I think has probably overshadowed the fact of Naismith getting a nomination himself.
I'd say, I'd go back to context. If the nominations for manager of the year were Philip Clement, Brendan Rodgers, and Stephen Naismith, don't know if anybody would even argue it, but the fact that it's the guy that's won the Vida League, the first division, undefeated or no, it's not like it's a team that isn't expected to go and win those games in that league with the budget that they have, versus the guy that's finished 6th and 4th. You know, if you're looking at teams outside the Old Firm that have performed out with their means, then I think Naismith is more than unlucky, given as it's been documented for the 1st of November until now. We've played 24 games in the league. We've won 16 matches. Rangers have won 18. Celtic have won 17. Since the 1st of December, we've only lost 2 league games. It's crazy. Been to Hampden twice for both semi-finals. Like, it feels a bit weird, especially given the guy like Tony Docherty is not actually done. John,
do you know, it gets a bit weird, the timing there, like when when it comes out, why doesn't it just wait till the end of the season?
I know, I've always said that as well, especially when, like you said, because again, without turning into a Rangers podcast, Philip Clement wins the treble in his first ever season in Scotland. Like,
crazy.
There's no argument to be had. Like, do you know what I mean? Given where they were, and where they are now, given that they trail Celtic and there's 4 games to go and stuff. I always thought the timing of these awards was daft. But never mind. I think Naismith is, from a Hearts bias and a Hearts perspective, I think he's very unlucky not to have been in the conversation, given how he's transformed where he was. You know, we went into that Motherwell game at Fir Park for the international break, genuinely with the axe about to be swung on Naismith. And now look at where we are right now. So let's turn it to the Hearts perspective then. We had our own Player of the Year awards on the Sunday night. Is there any surprise or standout or shock? Well done to the young guys that done it. Like, was it is it Callum Sanderlands, is that his name?
Right.
Swanned it.
And then McFarlane, the goalkeeper. Shout out to the girls as well that won I've now completely forgot the lady's name. I won their awards as well. Well done. Shout out to you too. And then obviously Lauren Shankland, Player of the Year for us. Cammy Devlin at Moment of the Year. It's a good one to discuss. Does anybody have a better moment in the year than the Rosenberg winners?
I think without making it a complete whitewash for Lauren Shankland, that last minute winner was probably up there. And then he could have been in contender for a few of the goal of the seasons as well. But I suppose it's nice to dish them a bit.
Aye. I think you're right. I think the Easter Road game. But I think just the fact that Cammy's two goals were probably what has edged it. Plus, it was at home. The fact is, it was a proper European night under the floodlights. It was still quite warm, which was decent. I think that laddie's probably just recovering now. That got absolutely smashed into the first draw of the ultras. I think you're right, Tam. I think the Easter Road game, yes, you know, but the actual European game meant to the club, I think, is probably just a little bit along those lines of why it's been edged out. And just to go back to what you mentioned, Corbett, women's team player of the year was Katie Lockwood, and the women's team rising star was Jess Husband.
Well done to both.
There you go.
Genuinely well done. And well done reaching the Scottish Cup semi-final as well.
And final.
Great achievement.
Final.
Oh, aye, final, sorry. What I was actually going to say is, the real uproar, actually, now that I think about it, is that the Hearts manager wasn't even nominated for the ladies' manager of the year thing, which seems absolutely bananas, given that the Hibernian coach was nominated, and I believe they sit quite far back behind Hearts in the league, I'm pretty sure.
I think we were fighting for relegation last year as well, and we're
round,
so...
Yeah. Well, the Cammy Devlin goal at Tynecastle, worthy winner.
Yeah, I think so. Nothing else immediately springs to mind, but I think for everything that meant, yeah, I think it has to be.
And I don't know if it was the excitement of the goal or just the shock that he hit two shots. It was the same when we come to review the game on Saturday. I don't know if that's what got me the most excited about Saturday, was the fact that he was hitting shots, which was unbelievable to see.
The strange one, or not strange one as such, that sounds really bad, but for Xander Clark to win save of the season, well, that's probably a given. But what particular save was it? I know it was against Hibs, but is it for the penalty? In the same game at Easter Road back at New Year? Is it that save, or is it the save in the 2-2 game earlier in the season? I don't know which particular save it was against Hibs. Does anybody know?
I think it was the one where it was like the last game where it was like for 6 yards out. Do you mind that one? It's quite close to
it. Good chance I was pissed, mate. There's no chance I was barely able to remember it. But I do remember the penalty save in the game at Easter Road, but I don't care if that's the one he's won it from.
I like how we are sticking to the absolute tagline of ill-informed. Probably should have figured all this out before we started podcasting, but never mind. If anybody knows, answers on a postcard. Tam, you can put your P.O. Box address up later, and I'll send you the mini cheddars debate again, because that was fun.
Yes. I didn't even notice I said Neil McFarlane for the keeper, so that was good.
Well, I was going to say something else here, but I got distracted. Yeah, can't think. Oh, the Allan Forrest goal of the season. Anybody agree, disagree?
I think we've covered it before that, yeah, technically very good goal, but in the context of that game, nah.
Aye, I'm the same. I'll admit that I watched it on this, because it's obviously up for the Sky Sports goal of the season thing as well. So I watched the goal back there, and there's no enjoyment in that for me. It's an unbelievable finish, but the game that we should have buried them, it should be buried, and it should have never ever have came to what it did. So I can't enjoy it. I think Shanklin's at Easter Road, or even Shanklin's against St Mirren, the one that was that's in the nominations, is a joke.
Yep,
it's a jokey finish. So is Alan Forrest, like, it's an unbelievable finish, but I don't know if I would be celebrating a goal that never won us a game against that lot.
Surprise Kingsley's free kick wasn't considered at Celtic Park.
Celtic Park. Aye, good point.
Yeah, true. But it was against Joe Hart. Joe Hart was absolutely ganning. Maybe that played a factor.
So is Marshall, though, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But yeah, it's Nate taking away Fan Forest. It was an unbelievable goal. Yeah. And again, I suppose I kind of just give everything to Shankland. Every moment of the season could have just went to Shankland. So it was good to see. We're talking about some of the attire that we've seen at the Player of the Year do.
So I only seen Sheen, Miss Moneypenny.
I only seen, all right, Shawnee.
I only seen what was shared in the community chat, and link in the description, by the way, if you're not part of it and you want to get joined in. I don't know. I'm so far out of touch with this sort of stuff that I couldn't tell you what's cool or what's not anymore. I'm an old dinosaur now, so it doesn't really matter. So I'll probably have to sit this one out. But I'm sure you've got a lot of things to say on this.
Well, Xander Clark wearing the spiked Christian Louboutin trainers shoes, whatever the word is, a bold choice.
So I'll just respond with one word answers to these, and it is crap for that one for me. You can't hide money, but you should hide money.
Okay. Peter Haring, again, probably best dressed. Maybe Craig Gordon. Maybe Craig Gordon was up there, but suits and trainers.
I didn't see Haring.
It's a no-no for me.
Haring looks, he's going for double geography, mate. Just imagine a geography teacher. That is exactly what he looked like.
Did he have his cool glasses on?
Yeah. Yes.
He did have his cool glasses
Excellent. On. Excellent. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I have seen him. Yeah, total geography teacher. That's fine. I don't mind that.
Nathaniel Atkinson had some absolute howlers on shoe-wise as well. I've seen
them. I've got them.
Yeah, well, there you go. Case in point. Guy showed up to the Player of the Year award wearing a pair of Doc Martens.
I was just about to say, are they the Doc Martens in their toilet? Sorry, Tim.
Right.
It's all right.
What was that programme called? Trini and Susanna. Now we're finished. The Gorgie Gokwan session. Saturday, pretty much European football confirmed, boys. How are we feeling about it? Are you celebrated yet, or are you waiting until it's mathematically done?
Normally I would, but I've celebrated. I've let out a wee cheer on Saturday at full time, just because it's not going to be taken away from us. It just won't be. I know everyone say don't jinx it, touch wood, all that sort of stuff, but let's be honest, it's not going to happen. European football's in the bag, end of celebrations all round. I just wish we could have just beaten them to do it.
Yeah, well, I won't lie, when we knew that we were taking 60 to 70 beach balls, I was very nervous that after we released them we would be on the end of a 3-0 of a proper Hearts moment, but aye, it was good. So obviously not mathematically done yet, Tam, but it's pretty much sewn up, isn't it?
Aye, I think you can renew your passport if you need to get ready personally, but yeah. I don't know if you've seen some of the options with the predicted draw, was it, for the Conference League today, but
aye.
Slow. Let's not think about Conference League yet.
Aye. Let's get in the Europa League. What I know. This is a public announcement to Heart of Midlothian Football Club. Please fix the train, boat, bus and fly merch. Please.
Is it still the wrong way?
It's not hard. Why? How did you even get it wrong?
In the first place.
It's on beach towels, t-shirts, passport covers. How did you even get it wrong? get it fixed for this European campaign, please.
That here's a public announcement to Heart of Midlothian Football Club. In regards to all merchandise, please run it past Corbett before anything gets put out. Simple as that.
Or just listen to the fans singing the song. That would be very handy. That would be very handy. Or don't ask Shanks to proofread the orders, because he's the only person I know that's bought it.
Can we just stipulate that's our Shanks, not...
Aye, that's Alistair Cruikshank. That's not Lauren Shankland. Cool. Right. Any other headlines or anything else caught your eye in the world of football this week?
Not a lot, to be honest.
Only thing I want to talk about in regards to is some of the photographs that were shared from Sunday night in the after party. How pissed does Xander Clark look?
I'm not that creepy, Kev.
All right.
I've never seen any of these said pictures.
If any of the ultras are listening that write the songs, Aidan Denham on the Venoms could be a good song. So get that happening, because he was on the Venoms.
There's already an Aidan Denham song that needs to come to life, but we have internal arguments about it. So we'll leave it at that. One thing I did like to laugh at is that last week Aberdeen had a big banner saying no to VAR or whatever.
Really?
And yet are incredibly silent. The Motherwell guy gets sent off. There's no comments from Aberdeen around the fact that they got absolutely away with one on Saturday, because there was never a red card in your life. So that's why you shouldn't make a of yourself with banners, because it always comes back to bite you in the bum. There you go, Tam. You have your first beep of the podcast. We did well. We're only 40 minutes in. That was it. That's all I wanted to know, because they begged. They went round all of the group chats begging people to get behind their get rid of VAR banner, and now they are radio silent as they benefited from a VAR.
I've already had this argument before when it was first rolled out. See, now that it's here, it will never disappear. It's like, once you've introduced a technology, you can't take it out again. When has that ever happened?
You say that.
Thanks. Sweden just did it, but
no, but they haven't taken it out.
We've been over this a million times. It's nothing to do with the technology's fine. It's the how we implement it which is wrong, and it's been wrong for a long time. But the sort of comfort blanket is that it's wrong in England as well. You know, so even full time refs and the bells and whistles versions of VAR that they have down south struggle to get it right. So
the only people,
just one of those things.
The only people that do get it right is UEFA and the Champions League, because it's quick and it's really like they make an instant decision. There's none of this, oh, let's go back and analyse it in micro detail, draw the lines, blah, 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 all that nonsense. But on the point on Sweden, they've just said they're not putting it in. They've not had it in and then are now taking it out. Once it's in, that's it. It's never be removed. It'll be here to stay forever. Just have to get on board with it.
That's true. Right. Kilmarnock on Saturday. For the... how many times? Fifth time we've played them this season?
Four times the league, once in the cup.
It will be, yeah.
Is that a third trip to Kilmarnock this season?
Correct. Never lost.
I've been there and person obviously gives you a much, much different perspective to how it is on TV, so I'll give you my opinion on the game after. But what was your thoughts on the game? Anything that jumped out starting 11 or anything pre-game or anything that jumped out in the first half?
I was surprised to see us go back to back five. Thought it was interesting, especially in hindsight we probably could have done with that at Hampden the week before. But yeah, I was surprised to see us do it away to Kilmarnock, but it worked, and good to see Cochrane back into the squad as well.
So the Kilmarnock play two up front and basically 4-4-2, so I wasn't shocked to see us go back to the back five, given their two best players are Armstrong and Kennedy, and then they've got two big lumps up front, so it kind of made sense. The argument whether we should have did that last week at Hampden's a valid one. the old Anti-Hud Boz situation in it. If we'd won that game at Hampden last week, we wouldn't have batted an eyelid. But yeah, fair point. That's a fair point. Kingsley, I think Stephen Kingsley's probably the most underrated player that we have in our squad currently. Yeah, I think he's absolutely, considering he was a left back and he was the club's best left back, to now be in the argument for being the club's best centre back is testament to him, Kev, and how good a player he is.
Yeah, I think if you've got, he's definitely got a footballing brain. Possibly one of the best footballing brains at the club, which just shows.
Receiving it, Tam.
I wasn't going to say Tam. I was going to say somebody else in that back three, back five, whichever way you want to look at it. But just his knowledge of the game, his ability to read a match and read a game. There was a couple of times on Saturday where he actually had to cover, but he had the awareness and he had the sharpness to be able to actually cover that particular side, even although he was playing on the right hand side of a back three, centre halves anyway, he's got that sort of brain. But that comes from his experience, that comes from his playing career down at Swansea, time at, he was at Hull as well. You learn these things, but he's definitely an asset. And I'm going to be pretty bold. I'm surprised he's not even been touted for possible international caps.
Scotland. Yeah, well, now the squad's went to 26, I was the same, but it's a competitive position at the park, isn't it, for Scotland?
It is, but it isn't, because if he's playing on that right-hand side, it looks like, you know, they're going to be struggling. You know, the boy Patterson at Everton's screwed. Hickey looks like he might be screwed for the summer. Who else are you going to be bringing in to be able to play in that sort of right side of the defence, you know? Robertson and...
I couldn't tell you. I still thought Dave McPherson and Davey Weir and that played with Scotland. I couldn't tell you they played with Scotland. I'll take your word for it.
I'll tell you after the
Tam's
podcast.
Tam's nodding along, so it must... Sounds like that could be correct. I actually thought Kingsley, Riles and Kent were really good on Saturday, given the physicality. Vassell and Watkins up front for them, I think they handled both of them very well. Anything else from the first half that caught your mind, caught your eye?
Just as you've rightly said and called earlier on, the way in which Devon played on Saturday, that's both first half and second half, Ollie's performance lacked was a shot on target, B maybe a goal. But I thought he was in that position that you've will probably been carrying, you know, calling out for. We knew he's got that sort of engine. He can run all day, but the element that he's got to work on is shooting, understanding, you know, where to be in the right place, etc., etc. And you know, he takes that next step really, and that goes back to the way in which he's been coached.
That was the best 45 minutes Hearts have played probably all season without scoring. But I thought Hearts were absolutely brilliant in the first half at Kilmarnock. Again, we were behind the goal, so you get the full picture of the, you know, how play develops and how we move along the pitch and how we break lines and how we trigger our presses and all that and counter press. I thought we were brilliant all over the park. Devlin was superb. Benny was great, winning the ball, giving it to Devlin, and Devlin was carrying it forward at everything that we've said we've wanted for a long time. You know, when they're at their best, that's what they were like two seasons ago, when they were both fit and both playing all the time. You know, one would win the ball, the other would carry it forward. Thought Shankland, Vargas were lively as anything up front as well. Thought they played really well. Again, you know my thoughts on George Grant. I won't keep going on about it. I think George Grant is one of the best players that we've got in those positions. Yeah, I thought Hearts caused Kilmarnock so many issues. Again, we were doing the whole go back to what we were doing last week for the Hampden debacle, where you start pausing games and picking choices and looking where we're at. We had so many situations where we just overloaded Kilmarnock and they didn't know what to do. Vargas hit the bar, Devlin hit the bar, Grant had a sitter, not a sitter, but probably should have had a better way of shot. Kent had a header that he should have did better with. there was countless opportunities to score. I thought Hearts were very, very good in the first half. Second half, kind of what you would expect from a Derek McInnes team and a good manager. They adapted to what Hearts were doing. They changed shape a little bit. And for not any great length of time, but they were overrun in the first half. They become resolute in the second half, grew into the game a little bit more. And by the time the game's finished, it's the most typical Derek McInnes thing ever. You know, they've got as many big guys as they possibly can up front, and they were just hoofing the ball forward, and that causes, again, Craig Levein used to say, and it's not just, well, obviously we all like to laugh about it and say, oh, it's uncultured, you're just gone long balls, right? But the madness behind it is that defenders don't like that. It causes chaos and confusion. With the ball can bounce anywhere, you can miss headers, you can get the ball in behind you, it can ricochet off someone. So going forward causes teams problems, and folk don't like to talk about that now because they were all Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp and we're all ticky-tacky football. But it's an effective tool, and it's something at points, Kev, this season where I've actually missed, or thought that Hearts have missed, having someone, a Nandoli or someone like that, that's bigger and physical and can go cause havoc in the box with throw-ins and corners and long balls and stuff. It's an element of a game that's maybe missing.
Yeah, I mean, I actually mentioned it to a couple of the boys the other week there when we played against Livingston. That sort of first 20-25 minutes of the game, we were all over the place. Sometimes you just want that. You want a big long ball, either down a channel or whatever, or down the middle, and a big lad, you know, lumpy, a man to effectively hold the ball up, maybe interlink where a midfielder or winger, whatever it may be. And that's maybe what we did. So we do at times miss in the shape of Humphreys last season. Maybe not Nanyuli. I don't know where you're coming with that one, because he was...
It was the big guy that played up front. It was the first one that popped into my head.
That's slightly worrying that that's the first one that pops into your head.
Well, he's but not anyway. Like to say Uche anymore, is he? We could, you know, well, with PTSD. Yeah.
But yeah, it is maybe something they need to look at. Just to have that ability to change a game and to change the way in which you actually play. Sometimes it is a requirement, especially in the Scottish game anyway.
Yeah, man, there's loads of factors for very specific types of games that'll help. You know, Kilmarnock's got a plastic pitch. I know we keep going on about it, but you can't judge the bounce of the ball. So defenders, they'll have to go win headers. They can't let the ball go behind them. They can't let the ball bounce because they can't dictate how the ball's going to bounce. It could shoot 10 yards in front of them, and then they're in a foot race with a nippy Gary McKay-Steven or Kennedy or Armstrong or wherever. So they, when you have someone physical up front and you can release pressure from your own defenders by going long, then put immediate pressure on our defenders, because it's like, right, well, you have to go win this header. You've got to go win the header, because if you don't, you're facing Xander Clark. You've got decisions to make with a bounce of ball on a plastic pitch, etc. So I thought Kilmarnock managed to win their way back into the game pretty well in that sense. And then I think Hearts, you're happy to invite them on and try and counter. And again, we had two or three very good openings on the counter. We maybe just picked the wrong pass or having to get a shot away. I laughed at Shankland posted slagging himself on Instagram or wherever, because obviously he'd made a couple of dodgy passes on Saturday. But overall, I thought Hearts were really good. It was an actual pretty entertaining 0-0, to be honest with you.
Last time on the plastic as well, down at Rugby Park, is that right?
Yeah, they're getting a grass pitch now, aren't they?
Which is probably what every club in the Premier League should have anyway. So yeah. Does that mean actually that there'll be no plastic pitches in Premier League next year?
If Livingston go, aye. If Livy go. Yeah. But then it depends who comes up. Brafe have got a plastic pitch, don't they?
I think they do, aye.
Okay.
No. Airdrie. In the playoffs as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Everyone's Partick, but they'll be grass. But
yeah, that's true. Devlin, Saturday. The best I've probably ever seen him in a Hearts jersey. I don't know if it was the same or looked that way on Hearts TV, but he was absolutely everywhere. I enjoyed the club's tweet saying that he covered every blade of plastic, but he genuinely did. He was genuinely superb on Saturday.
Thanks, Zidane.
He was passing, tackling, but like you said, he's such a threat. When I've said this before, right? The reason you want midfielders that shoot is the same reason why we benefit from teams solely focusing on Lauren Shankland. Because if you take up mind space, it puts we shopping TK Maxx, right? You're not talking Maldini and Beckenbauer or whoever you're going up against here. You're going up against Darren Dees or something like that, whatever he's called, that plays for Kilmarnock. The more things that can have to be in his head, you know, if it's right, don't give Shankland a yard, keep him on his left, don't let Forrest cut inside, don't let Devlin within 10, 15, 20 yards of your goal, because he's got a good right foot, a good left foot. All these things, that's why we struggle against teams and players that are good. You know, how many times do we go into games where we say, Kyogo always scores against us, Morelos always scores against us, Curtis Main, Eamon Brophy, all these guys? It's because they're in our minds, they're in our heads. So the benefits aren't just physical benefits, so Cammy Devlin hitting shots, you know, deflections, goals, corners, free kicks, whatever it may be, I'm shooting. The mental side of it is that if Hearts are attacking and you're come up against a back five or a low block like a Livingston or whoever, and their defenders are worried about Shankland, they're worried about Vargas, they're worried about Forrest, then they can be worried about Grant, they can be worried about Devlin, they can be worried about Benny. That's how you end up with space, because that's what you do. So it was great to see Devlin shooting. You can see that he doesn't shoot. Although, to be fair, the one he hit off the bar was pretty cultured. That would have been some finish. I thought he was absolutely superb.
He's everything you've asked for, really, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Everything you've been wanting of that kind of player. We've seen it, as you rightly said earlier on, we've seen it for the last couple of years, that he has that engine, he can run all day, but he's now actually, after being out for a period of time where with fitness problems, he's actually maybe actually been able to get a wee bit of learning of what we're looking for, what is required, the kind of runs to be making. So let's be honest, it's probably not a bad time for him to actually start playing this way. Cement that kind of role over the next four games and properly then work on it during the summer moving into next season. It's a way to look at it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Ando, we've spoken about before when it comes to like guys like Bannon McKay or Devlin. If we can see a difference with them through coaching, and obviously what we've seen on Saturday, there was a different, and Naismith spoke about it after the game, there was a different ask for Cammy on Saturday. At points he was playing up front beside Shankland. You know, he was that far up the park. That only benefits Hearts, and if Naismith can get the best out of these type of players.
Yeah, and I think that's we've said this for just about in every single episode, that a good coach can make good players better or make average players better. And if he's bringing or utilising Devlin in a better role where he's showing the kind of skill that he showed on Saturday, then I think he has to continue with it. I know it's a bit of a different role given the audience that we had on, the opposition that we had on Saturday, and that's fine. But then if he can do it once, he can do it all the time, no matter where he plays. But it's just about coaching him well to make sure that he actually does it more than just by appointment two or three times a season.
Yeah. I think it shouldn't be sniffed at as well that it's not an easy place to go and dominate the game.
Yeah.
I think we are the only side Kilmarnock haven't they beat in Kilmarnock. I think they beat Celtic and Rangers. Yeah, they beat Celtic in the Cup, didn't they? They knocked Celtic out of the League Cup. They beat Rangers in the League. So, you know, to go there three times and come away with two wins and a draw, pretty impressive stuff. And I thought that Hearts all-round performance on Saturday was absolutely superb.
Agreed.
Cool. Well, anything else catch your eyes of the game on Saturday?
New referee. actually.
A what?
Aye, so it's somebody pretty untested at the, I think the Premier League level, sorry, Premiership level. I can't remember his name, Ross something, but I know Laurie made a comment about him at the start of the game, and obviously he does everything. And the name I didn't recognise, and Laurie sure enough went on to say that he's pretty untested at this level. I thought he had a good match. I don't think he got really a couple of, well, apart from maybe one or two wee bits and bobs, actually was spot on. It's always the danger when you get an inexperienced ref matching, sorry, refereeing a big, or a decent enough sized game. I think they're going to make a Ricky Hunt of it, but actually done well. But not anything specifically to do with Hearts, but that's it.
Definitely. And don't remember him being decent, because I remember at least four times singing "Fuck the SFA" very loudly, but I don't know.
That's just because
exactly, and I don't know why.
That's another thing.
I don't know why. I think got the penalty dive decision right at the end, 100%. Thought it was. You go back to these things where they would book people. Given Shanklin's been booked for simulation, and had it upheld, which is total nonsense. There was a bit of a high boot thing on Shankland in the first half, maybe, that potentially could have, I don't even know if VR looked at it, but I remember at the time thinking that was a bit for getting red cards for the Celtic guy and likes. It was maybe one that would have been, but he maybe did have a good game. I can't remember.
And to answer your question about where you were saying, fuck the SFA, because, well, why wouldn't you? You should be singing it every single game. Yeah,
exactly. Right, so we are now 11 points in front, with 12 points to play for. Hearts head to Celtic Park on Saturday. Kilmarnock head to Ibrox on the Sunday. Celtic, I hate saying it because we said this about Rangers and that as well, but neither Celtic or Rangers look anywhere near convincing. Obviously very disappointing to watch St Mirren put Rangers under pressure, take goals off them, when we couldn't the week prior, and then Celtic wonder goal from James Forrest, and then obviously they're not hanging on, but they put some very scary moments at the end. What's our thoughts for Saturday? Kev, I'll start with you.
As I said earlier on, can't see us going to Parkhead twice in one season and winning, but I'll happily take a 1-1 draw.
Okay. Is that your prediction? You're doing a prediction first?
I'm doing prediction, and I have not been drinking tonight, just for everybody's awareness. But no, I think there's going to be probably elements in. You go back to what you said about players like Dees having thoughts and heads about Shankland, or thoughts and heads about how Vargas is quick, or, you know, Forrest can do this, that, the next thing. I think you might find that there'll be a few Celtic players on Saturday with that same thought in their head. You know, they came here the last time, 1-2-0, and then, you know, we've lost them at Tynecastle only, 6-8 weeks ago, whatever it was. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of them still have a little bit of that in their heads as well, come Saturday.
Yeah, well, that would be absolutely ideal for Hearts if they did. My worry is we've seen it in England and we've seen it up here, is that when you're up against a Celtic or a Man City, in terms of, never mind the quality of the player, but they're serial winners. They win all the time. They know how to win matches and stuff. And this is now this is the business end of the season for them. So you're hoping that we can keep it tight for as long as we possibly can, maybe even get a goal early. Because, again, you don't want a situation like what happened at Ibrox. If you concede early and they get up for it, you know, they've got the quality and the ability to steamroller you. But, yeah, you're right. If we can keep it nervy and get in their heads, you never know, given that they've been bitten by us twice. Ando, what's your thoughts?
It's one of them that it's another opportunity for almost, I hate this phrase, we'll say anyway, free hit, because we're in Europe, it's pretty much not guaranteed. We've covered that already, you know what I mean? Then we get to go there with no pressure. All the pressure is on them because they've got a league to win. Now, to your point, yeah, either hitting the business end of the season, very rarely do they fuck it up. But, well, how many times have we seen a Rodgers team fuck up with under when they've had a bit of pressure on them? So I think there is every opportunity that we can go there and Lightning maybe can strike twice. Well, do I think it will happen though? That's a different scenario, but I think that we need to treat it as the walk into them, walk into their ground and stuff them up a wee bit again like we did the last time.
Tam?
Just by going off Twitter and what Celtic fans are saying, I think every Hearts player will play the best game they've ever played of the season. Mm-hmm. They'll try the harder than they've ever tried before against Rangers, and we'll hammer them. That's it.
I take no shame in saying that if we beat Celtic on Saturday and then got beat off Rangers on the last game of the season, the tears and snorters would be glorious. That I would love it. I would absolutely
effectively
love it.
2 months to
read it would be so good. It would just because of how rattled they are. See the boy put like 3-4 heads on Shankland the other day, and someone actually tweeted it being like, mate, there are two of your biggest rivals there sitting right next to you, the guy going for titles, stopping news who winning titles, but yet you've picked Lauren Shanklin because he's rattled you and you can't handle it. If we beat them on Saturday and it culminated in them making a Ricky Hunt of the league, I don't call me whatever name you want, I would love it.
Flip that.
Kevin Keegan, I would love it. Right.
Something that was 20 years ago yesterday. Something like that.
Was it? All right. Carol Vorderman. Don't know why I said Carol Vorderman. Don't know why I said that. She's got nothing to do with football, but she's good at like weird mapping or whatever. And I don't know what's in my head. I was like, how did you work that out? Then I remembered that you probably just seen it on Twitter.
Exactly.
There you go. So there you go. We've an hour into a podcast and Carol Vorderman was mentioned, and I bet you none of you thought you'd get this far and ever have any of that.
I'm not even going to call it out for being an utter shambles that it was, because it was like in the late 90s and we're in 2024. So
have
it
you
can't
seen her
be 20
she
years ago.
20 years younger than she did 20 years ago. Is that actual mental?
Aye. She can't sit next to a log fire, man. She'll just melt.
Aye, okay. Like
Michael
She's
Jackson.
Got about 5 points.
One of those things that you've got, Tam, those is it Brazilian butt lifts or something? Show your ass, come on. We've only got a couple of minutes today. Show the boys is what you went to Brazil for.
I was squatting in the gym just to keep that up early. That's what I was there.
You got a BBL, that's what it's
that's
called.
That's my week off was a bit.
Yeah, we something else and all, but we'll talk about that later.
That needs fixed first before any BBL, mate.
I told you did it in the wrong order. You shouldn't have got the big arse. You should have got the big knob first and then fixed the arse. Right. Let's do predictions. Kev, you said 1-1. Ando?
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, let's put it that way, rather than what I expect.
I think Celtic will win. It'd be 2-0 to them.
Tam?
I was going to be between 1-1 or 2-0, so I'm not going to copy you, so I will just say 0-0.
Okay. I think it'll be nervy, but it'll be maybe 3-1 to Celtic. Maybe Hearts getting a goal back or something. But yeah, 3-1 to Celtic, I think. It'd be a big ask to go and win 3 matches in a season versus Celtic. Not even sure if we'll have won the last time we would have even have done such a thing. Then where are we? Next game at home, is it the following Saturday, Dundee?
Yeah.
Yes. Followed by St Mirren away.
Is it St Mirren away?
Wednesday night.
Midweek?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Midweek.
Wednesday night. Then Wednesday night in Paisley. Fantastic.
Is the game the Sunday, is that right?
No.
The Rangers game?
No, sorry. Saturday. Bank holiday weekend, Saturday. And then the big league, the lower league is the Sunday.
But the relegation league?
Aye, that's the one.
Like the relegation zone, they finish their season on the Sunday.
Aye.
Fantastic. So they don't even get to play when the big boys are playing. The way they should be treated, like absolute shit. Fantastic. Right, boys. Aye. See you all on Sunday.
See you then.
Catch you later.
Gargoyles.